From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Your taxes are due tomorrow. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, South Korea is backing away from a decision that would have allowed imported pork to enter the country tariff-free. The Senate Ag Committee is thinking about taking a vote on the new farm bill next week, and two Asian nations remain the largest holders of U.S. Treasury notes. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and as we make our way through the program today, we'll hear that interview I did with Emerson Nafziger Friday afternoon. In it, the Illinois agronomist considers the fate of last week's frosted corn. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and that it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby May corn, or rather May wheat, at $6.16 and a quarter, down 7 and a quarter. July at $6.21 and a quarter, down 9. And September at $6.34 and a quarter, 10 and a quarter lower. The hard red in Kansas City settled at $6.39 and a half, down 12 and a half. Now the corn pit from Chicago, 6 cents lower there, $6.23 and three quarters of a cent, rather $6.23 and one quarter of a cent in the May corn, down 6. July at $6.13 and a quarter, 7 and a half cents lower. September at $5.40 and three quarters a bushel, down 14 and three quarters. And December corn at $5.26 and a quarter, down 10 and three quarters. March contract, $5.37 and a half, finished 10 and a half cents lower. In December of 2013 at $5.29, down 8 and a half cents. May beans at $14.20, down 16 and three quarters. July at $14.24 and a quarter, down 16 and a half. And November, $13.50, down 11 and three quarters. Bean meal at $3.91.40, down $4.40. Bean oil at $55.75, 77 cents lower on the day. August lean cattle, or live cattle, at $119.02, down 2.5. The May feeder cattle at $151.92.5, up 40. And the lean hogs now, May contract, $88.55, down $1.57.5. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, $102.96 a barrel, 13 cents higher. Ethanol at $2.19.07, that's down 2 cents for the day. Natural gas at $2.05, 3 3/10 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.11.09, down 5.5 cents. And gold futures for the day at $1,648.70 an ounce, down $10.40. The U.S. dollar at 79.5, that's down 0.32. The CRB index at 300.79, that's down 2.06 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high near 62 degrees, breezy with a west wind at 23 to 26 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 44 today. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 40, west winds at 11 to 14, gusting to 18. And Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, a high on Tuesday of 66 degrees, calm winds finally, out of the west-northwest at 6 miles per hour. And Tuesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 44 degrees with a west wind at 6 miles per hour. Mostly sunny on Wednesday and 74 degrees with a south wind at 8 to 17, gusting to 20. And Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 53. Thursday, partly sunny and a high of 72 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 51. Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a high near 60 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a low of 39 degrees. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high of 57 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of 38. Sunday, mostly sunny, and a high of 58 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hi, this is Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel is on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What did you see in the marketplace today?
Follow through selling from Friday's lower close there. Technically, we reached some levels and failed to sort of follow through the upside, generate some short-term sell programs to kick in to put the market in a somewhat of a defensive pattern here over the short term. Fundamentally, we're looking at some of these drier areas receiving some moisture to work with, giving a little bit of confidence that we'll raise something this year. Also, two fears that on the world scale that they're still scared, maybe Europe again, Chinese economy can be possibly slowing from a longer term point of view. So technically and fundamentally, we reached a level that warrants some backing and filling here. And seasonally in the grain market, especially whenever you see a late winter, early spring rally, which we just experienced, if there's not enough fundamental bullish news such as weather or raw investor confidence come in, it's awful hard for the market to rally significant in the early part of the growing season.
Is a break of the magnitude today where there's a lot of red on the board, many things more than a dime lower, enough for you to reconsider what should be done with either old or new crop stocks?
Well, on days like today, you know, the guys that didn't take advantage of the up move are calling, wanting to know what to do. Is this, you know, top end for good? Or you know, what can we look for down the road here? It just reinforces the idea that there's downside risk, you know, if you're a producer and holding unpriced or unhedged inventory. For those who've been taking advantage of the up moves in through here, this break is an opportunity to get some replacements on the board in case, you know, we do run into some weather concerns or some big demand scenarios down the road to give the market reason to move higher rate later on the growing season. So there's opportunity for both the bull and the bear. But the urgency right now with the market going down is that for guys that do have remaining stocks or inventory to get some type of downside protection. The simplest thing to do right now would be to put a price floor under you. That way you just don't puke out the cash grain and all of a sudden see it go up. That happens a lot in this roller coaster type of market atmosphere. So the most conservative thing to do is get some downside protection. So if it goes lower, you're covered. If not, you know, you still have the cash grain to market. We feel crop cash grain still has some value from a basis point of view because there's still some demand out there that needs to be satisfied. But that being said, the second best strategy is if you're one not wanting to have to deal with the ups and downs and the panic situations, go ahead and move the cash grain, get your money, pay your bills, and then replace some ownership with some conservative strategies on paper here. So later on, if we're moving into 4th of July and we're seeing the above normal temperatures, below normal precip forecasts come in, and we're in the upper hundreds, not upper hundreds, but close to 100.
The upper hundreds, we probably would not be around.
Sunspot disaster.
Yeah, that's right.
If we're in the upper end, close to the hundreds there, then you'll probably see a more of a profitable opportunity by owning a paper, because what will happen is every Tom and Dick and Harry will look at the yards turn brown, I got to get in, and the rally will be more so on paper than in the cash market. So there's tons of ideas, and it's just a matter of mapping out some type of plan here to take advantage of the ups and downs and sort of smooth out the emotional roller coaster.
I did see a note out of Argentina that someone there has lowered their prospects by another million metric tons. Is that right for the day for soybeans?
Oh, on the beans, the South American crop continues to shrink and probably will be fine-tuned as we go on. We're talking 500,000, 1 million metric tons, you know, here and there. I think we've taken the chunk out where we're not should not see a 3-4 million metric ton swing. That being said, too, on the flip side of it, ideas of the corn crop might have been, a little bit better. So we're going to go through the process of fine-tuning that South American crop. The bottom line is, when you compare the last few years, we did not see a significant increase in bean production out of the Southern Hemisphere. So therefore, the urgency is back to secure implies out of the Northern Hemisphere as we move along down the road here, Todd.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Hey, take care. Thanks.
Hey, you too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Serves as their senior grains analyst. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, South Korea reportedly is now backing away from a decision to expand its tariff-free market for pork, largely as a result of complaints from domestic hog farmers. The South Korean government announced last month it would allow 70,000 metric tons of chilled and frozen pork bellies to be brought in free of tariff in the quarter ending June 30th. The policy was challenged by Korean farm groups, who say an extension of tariff quotas is unnecessary because they can meet the demands. Currently, South Korea consumes up to 100,000 tons of pork every month, around three-quarters of which comes from local ranchers, with the remaining 25% from overseas. U.S. trade officials are expected to register their disappointment with the new arrangement. The Senate Agriculture Committee says it may vote on a farm bill in the week of April 23rd. Senate staffers have been meeting to hammer out details of a bill. Lawmakers' main challenge is expected to cut overall farm spending. The Senate committee has talked of cuts of around $23 billion over 10 years. The Republican-led House is working with two deeper cuts, a budget reconciliation bill that trims farm bill spending by $33 billion over 11 years, and the annual budget resolution that cuts agriculture by $180 billion over a decade. The current act expires at the end of this fiscal year. China remained the largest foreign holder of U.S. treasuries in February, but Japan continued the threat in taking over the number one position as a net buyer with another month of record holdings. Overall, foreigners were net buyers of long-term U.S. financial assets in February. China's net holdings rose $12.7 billion to $1.179 trillion, following net buying of $14.3 billion in January. Japan continued to be a heavy net buyer of treasuries, hitting a record level of $1.096 trillion in February. The closely watched figure of net long-term securities transactions showed total buying of $10.1 billion in long-term U.S. securities in February after purchases of $102.4 billion in January. Citigroup is reporting a profit of $2.9 billion for the first 3 months of the year. The bank says it earned 95 cents a share in the first quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find all of our agricultural programming online anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org, on your smartphone at m.willag.org. No www in front of the m.willag.org for your smartphones. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A week ago, Illinois farmers had 17% of their corn crop in the ground, and then it frosted, and some of it froze. Emerson Nafziger is an Extension agronomist at the U of I and went to the South Farms research plots on Wednesday morning to see what kind of damage had been done. I asked him about the damage and what the prospects for recovery might be for frosted or frozen corn.
I could tell when I looked at them about 7 on Wednesday morning, and I knew that we had a problem. As we've seen before, on these rare occasions when we get it this cold, when the corn is this size, we had this happen in the first week of May back in 2005 here in a planting date study that we had. That year we did a fair amount of replanting over in the western part of Illinois. If people were aggressive and got planted in the first week of April that year, the corn was about the size we see it now if it was in the first week of May. Basically, what happens when you get temperatures like that is the leaves on the plants radiate to the cold sky. They get even a little colder than the air temperature, and that just kills them. So a lot of leaf area is dead. The odd thing is that it's some plants, it's not dead, and the plant right next to it, it might be dead. And this isn't the first time we've seen this. It's a very delicate thing out in the field where the soil, the warmer soil, is also radiating to the leaves, and so it's helping keep them warm a little bit, offering some protection. And the combination is some plants seem to survive. All of the plants lost some leaf area. The question of whether they'll live or not is one that we thought had been settled, that when you get this kind of temperature, the growing point is still about an inch, 3/4 of an inch below the ground. Hasn't really started to grow yet, the stem of the plant, that tip of the stem is the growing point. But we saw back in 2005, we saw plants that never showed a single sign of life after cold weather. And it looks to me a little bit like we may see that again this year. When it's cold like this and dry, and you know there's not very good growing conditions anyway during the days now, it takes plants a long time to figure out how to come back. But the fact of the matter is, these that have their leaf area pretty much killed down to the ground, and I suspect there are some whole fields like that in some parts of central Illinois that were planted very early. We're not certain at all that they're going to come back or that they're going to come back and turn into healthy plants.
How soon will we know?
We'll know in time to do a good replant. If it rains and the temperatures warm up this weekend, we're going to have a lot better idea by Monday or Tuesday. The truth of the matter is, though, that with the leaf area killed down to the ground, these are not going to have green leaf tissue on them. Even if they manage to grow back, their green leaf tissue is going to develop very slowly. And the plants certainly are not going to do any growing in the meantime. They have no source of food materials to grow if they don't have green leaf tissue. One of the worries is that if you go down the row and occasionally have a plant that's leaf area has been killed, is it going to grow back in time to be a good competitor with its neighbors, or is it just going to turn into a non-productive plant? So some of these issues we're going to be seeing. I think by about the 20th of April, we're going to have a pretty good idea whether these fields should be kept or whether they should be replanted.
Which sizes are most vulnerable? So we've seen spike and two-leaf, 4 or 5 inches.
I think that the larger the amount of leaf area, the more leaf area got killed. But anything that had its leaves out into sort of a horizontal condition, so if the leaves were more or less horizontal, then they were subject to getting killed by frost. And those are the plants that are going to take the biggest beating. Just spiking through should be okay. Coming up, anything planted after the 1st of April should be okay, even though most of those fields that were planted the first few days of April are up by now. And we planted something about 12% of our crop in the first week of April, so most of that should be safe. The 5% that got planted before the 1st of April, I would expect anything planted between March 15th and March 20 could certainly have a problem. And that planted up through March 25, depending on the air drainage in the field and how cold it really got in the low parts of the field, some of that could be in real trouble as well. Even if the plants come back and produce green leafery again, the question's going to linger whether those are going to turn into fully productive plants. We've seen this phenomenon before with very early planted corn. When it gets to a low temperature, sometime about 2, 3, 4 leaf stage, we think that it physiologically can do some damage. That means that crop, that plant never really becomes fully productive again. That's a really tough call. But I think the best we can do is see whether this comes back vigorously with good green color and good growth early. And if it struggles along and by the end of April it still looks like it's going to survive but not thrive very well, then these fields might still be a candidate to be replanted.
That's Emerson Nafziger, University of Illinois Extension agronomist. I'm U of I's Todd Gleason.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is the closing market report. Time to check the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons. Greg Johnson on the line from right here in Champaign County. Producers worried much about the red ink that came out of Chicago today?
I think they were willing to take that red ink in exchange for the nice half inch to inch of rain that we got over the weekend.
It was dry and dusty last week. Holy smokes.
Yes. In fact, a lot of farmers actually stopped planting last week. You know, they maybe got half to two-thirds planted around here, and then they just stopped and said, that's enough. I'll wait and, you know, wait for the rain. Hopefully it will rain, and then I can plant the rest this week.
Looked like there was a nice inch rainfall across a good portion of the central part of Illinois and eastern Illinois, too.
Yes. I wouldn't have said that Sunday afternoon. The Friday and Saturday rains were a little on the disappointing side. They seemed like they went north and south of us, but then here in central Illinois, at least here, we got our nice rain last night, another, you know, 4 tenths, 5 tenths last night, and add that to the 2 or 3 tenths we had earlier in the weekend. It added up to maybe 3/4 of an inch, some places as much as an inch.
Yeah, it didn't come down too fast either, so probably worked into the ground quite nicely, I would think.
Very beneficial. I think farmers are breathing a sigh of relief, and I think we'll be doing this all growing season. We're going to have to depend on some timely rains, you know, from here on out.
What's the news on the cash grain front? Anything?
Oh, you know, the sell-off in the futures market has kind of got the farmers, you know, locked down. So we haven't seen a big increase of movement. But by the same token, export sales haven't been phenomenal either. So it's kind of a case of low demand and low supply. So basis levels have been exactly unchanged over the last week.
And your bids?
Cash corn, 636. New crop corn, 501. Cash beans, 1408. New beans, 1320. And new crop wheat, 601.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Join us from their facility right here in Champaign County on this Monday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes when we'll look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Eggs Benedict Day. There are differing accounts of the origin of Eggs Benedict, but the most likely origin comes from Elizabeth David's French Provincial Cookbook, where she describes a puree of refreshed salt cod and potatoes spread on triangles of fried bread and topped with a poached egg and hollandaise. It's also St. Magnus Day. He is the patron saint of fishmongers. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Thomas Blanchard died, an American inventor, Blanchard made major contributions to the development of machine tools. At age 13, he developed an apple paring machine. Eventually, he invented the famous lathe that bears his name. The lathe can turn irregular forms, and it revolutionized a number of industries. In 1880, Donald Forsha Jones was born. Jones was an American geneticist and agronomist who experimented with corn. In 1917, he invented the double-cross method of hybrid seed production, which solved a problem in producing useful uniform strains, while at the same time increasing yield and vigor. And in 1941, the original Elsie the Cow died. Elsie the Cow was originally a cartoon character appearing in ads for Borden Milk. At the 1939 New York World's Fair, when people began asking where Elsie was, Borden's picked a cow originally named Yule Dulobelia from their herd to be Elsie. Elsie starred in commercials, made personal appearances, and even starred in an RKO movie, Little Men. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's Monday, the 16th day of April. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you today?
I am very, very good. It's nice not to be so dusty. Can you tell me about the weekend rainfalls, where it came and how much?
Yeah, it was a pretty plentiful period of rainfall across much of the Midwest over the course of the weekend, potentially central and western portions of the belt. You look at the state of Iowa, for example, nearly all areas picked up at a minimum 3/4 of an inch, with a good swath across the southern and western states up to 2 inches, and some isolated areas in southwestern Iowa picking up near 3 inches. For Illinois, here in the heart of the Midwest, it was a kind of two swaths of precipitation. One heavy swath of 1.5 to 3 inches was basically St. Louis east over towards just north of Evansville. The second swath was across the northern part of the state, basically north of Rockford, straight across right near the Wisconsin border. But if you look at how that impacted the dry trends we had seen, now month to date, much of Iowa is running above normal. Down near St. Louis and southwestern portions of Illinois are running now above normal, and in this small swath north of Rockford also running above normal. Eastern Belt, Indiana, Ohio, picking up some rains earlier today. They are still the driest spot here and could use more rainfall as we look ahead over the next 5 to 10 days.
Will they get it?
Well, the next rain opportunity here is small disturbance coming across far northern portions of the Midwest on Wednesday. That's mainly going to be Dakotas, northern Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Rather light totals, not a prolific or a widespread heavy producer like we saw this weekend. The next meaningful rainfall opportunity, central and eastern parts of the Midwest, Friday afternoon. A front comes through the Midwest. Again, does not look to be as strong a rain producer as what we just went through, but general coverage will be 60% coverage of amounts. A quarter up to 3/4 of an inch, so definitely on the lower end. And then actually for the weekend, we better get a bit of cooler weather into the picture. No signs that there's a freeze at the current time across any portions of the Midwest, but it is a time frame where widespread 30s will be seen. So we need to watch that just a little bit to make sure we don't dip below freezing for emerged corn, which that could start to be more of an issue.
How deep into the Midwest will those 30-degree numbers go?
That's a good question, Todd. The portions of Iowa and then into far northern Missouri, across the central and northern portions of Illinois, and then basically straight across over towards, say, Pittsburgh or Columbus would be the 30s line. Again, no sub-32s are seen this upcoming weekend, but got to watch it closely.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, helps us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. From Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.
WILL agricultural programs and services are made possible by the Friends of WILL and by Strategic Farm Marketing, Boulder Design, Stuart Peterson, and Pioneer Seeds. Thank you for your continued support.